Okay, recent weeks it becomes increasingly important, I think, to comment on the world about us as it relates to Scripture. And as Scripture speaks to it. And in particular of recent days, a lot of the prophetic Scriptures come to mind. And I don't claim to be a prophet or the son of a prophet. I don't know exactly how all these things are going to unfold. There's certain verses that come to mind that, you know, probably have a different ultimate fulfillment, and yet they're applicable to the things we see going on. And I think it's important to realize that and to apply that, and not to just go on blithely about our way, as some folks seem to be content to do. Few words this morning, and we'll probably get back into Galatians a little bit, or maybe not, and we mentioned this before, but this is increasingly more evident, the matter of false Christs. And this may seem a little way away from us, but in reality it's not, because it's coming everywhere. On the national level and the state levels, even though maybe temporarily our state seems to be better than some. The new governor of New York, who replaced the reprobate tyrant dictator Mario Cuomo, has picked up where he left off and even advanced beyond that. One day, before she was going to enact the state's mandate that all healthcare workers must be vaccinated, she appeared at a local Brooklyn, this reports describe it as a, quote, mega church. I looked it up a little bit. Scott looks like a man and a woman as co-pastors. And does look like a mega church, a big thing. And she spoke from the pulpit. And her message was one that ought to awaken folks, but evidently it doesn't. Some folks, I guess, will applaud it. The church was called Christian Cultural Center, whatever that may mean. Part of her message was that all you unvaccinated folks aren't listening to God. I guess she's got a direct line. She is listening. She gets the message. She went on to say, quote, she knows this somehow, God wants you to get the vaccine. As she's in the process of firing the workers of New York. This woman is a Roman Catholic. This thing, whatever it is, doesn't claim to be Catholic. I saw it described as evangelical, and whatever that word means anymore, I guess, who knows? And she opined that God had answered prayers, that He had raised up and made scientists and doctors and researchers that knew and understood all these things and developed this wonderful coronavirus vaccine, this glorious Kool-Aid. She told the folks there in the congregation that those who were there, which she assumed were vaccinated, and I'm not sure, it looked like the church to be one of a large extent people of color. And I know that they're the ones who aren't following some of the Kool-Aid stuff. But anyway, she told them that all you vaccinated folks, you're the smart ones. And she went on to say some things that, in the light of what we know of history, folks like Hitler and the Inquisitions of Rome ought to send up alerts. She said this, you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God. And what God wants, you know who they are. That almost sounds like a threat to me. It sounds like, you know, someone's contemplating beginning the new Inquisition, and to some degree it's not been as onerous as it eventually came under Rome. It's already occurring. Yes, and even in a state like Florida, where we're supposed to have such a wonderful governor and everything's just hunky-dory here, you know, my own granddaughter's at the point where she may not be able to complete her nursing training at one last semester before meeting all the requirements to become an RN. And there's people being laid off and fired. We know in Gainesville they're trying to fire people who work for the power company that's owned by the city, for crying out loud. But they're not listening to God. We're going to have to do something about them. You know who they are! And she went on to say some more, even more disturbing things as she preached to this congregation in Brooklyn. She told us that the vaccine is from God to us. I guess it's kind of like the Catholic magic holy water, I guess, or the magic wafers. And, you know, all this stuff, you take it and you're fine. In fact, she seems now to be promoting a new crucifix. I got a picture of it here. She doesn't call it a crucifix, but she says, I wear my vaccine necklace all the time to show that I'm vaccinated. And she's got a thing around her neck here, and it says, it's in gold necklace, it says, vaxxed. Nothing like putting that on yourself out there, I guess. But it does seem to be a whole lot like her Catholicism, and she's not wearing a crucifix, she's a Catholic. But she's probably wearing her vaxxed necklace. And she's speaking to the smart ones. And all those other people, you know who they are. They're not listening to God. She goes on to declare her messianic complex. And we'll get to where the Lord, and we've looked at it in previous weeks, warned about these false Christs. Here's what she told a large church, a mega church of people. The governor, this woman, she says, I need you to be my apostles. Well, now, I know someone who had apostles. Let me think about it. Who was that? You know, she thinks she needs apostles. She wants these people to be her apostles. I'm not making this up. I'm not making these words up. This is the word she spoke to these people. Again, this ought to start sending up alerts to us. She said, I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it. And say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. But love stuff, you know, that they have no concept of what it genuinely is. We love, in fact, she goes on to say, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, she's going to be going on and on and on about this love and love and love each other and care about each other and take, and the day before, she had said she's going to fire all the New York State workers who refused to be vaccinated. And not only that, she's not only going to fire them, but she's going to ensure by her directives that they not be able to receive compensation in the form of workman's compensation because they've been fired. Yeah, that sounds like love to me. Like the kind of love you get from the state. Mm-hmm. Like the kind of love you get from Rome. Mm-hmm. Like the kind of love you get from the Inquisition or from the Holocaust. You know these people. Anyway, she says, I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Diane was talking to some people yesterday, and you know, all this virtue signaling. And it's like, oh, I'm wearing my mask to protect you. I'm wearing my mask because I love you so much. And you see me this, you should see how virtuous I am, how wonderful I am, how caring I am, how loving I am. And how you're not, you know. But you know those people, you know who they are. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love? But to care about each other. To say, please get vaccinated. Please take the magic holy water. Please take the magic wafer. Please drink the Kool-Aid. Please get vaccinated. Because I love you. And I want you to live. She must not know the statistics that are coming out about the vaccines and the people it's killing, but, or maybe she does. And then again, with all this loving one another, she said that all the New York State workers who were going to be fired for refusing to get vaccinated would not be eligible for unemployment benefits. I mean, I'm not all in favor of that sort of stuff, but they paid into that. All their working careers, they're fired. But, you know, you're a special kind of people. You're those people, we know who you are. And you're not going to get those. I guess because they love them. I don't know. That's, I guess, the implication. In fact, she went on to say that they would be replacing people. An estimated 70,000 healthcare workers in New York would be replaced, fired, sent on their way without any compensation, without workman's comp, without severance, without anything. At her doing. She goes on again to speak of these evil people, but you know who they are. And again, the foreshadows of a new Holocaust. She says, people who will not get vaccinated are the only reason that this country and these communities and our cities, same people, you know who they are, Their fault. They're the only reason that this country and these communities and our cities have not been able to be fully engaged in a state of normalcy. I wouldn't look for anything like that to come. Probably never again. Not in our lifetime. But again, it's those people. We got to eliminate them. We got to get rid of them. She wants these people to be her apostles. She wants these people to spread her gospel. The good news about injections that save us from damnation. Well, I guess at least save us from a flu-like disease that'll heal you You know, this will heal you. This will set you free. Scriptures warn about folks that give you the promises of liberty as well. And really it brings bondage. This woman has a pretty high opinion of herself.
Mm-hmm.
Gathering apostles. At least by implication, equating herself with the Lord. There's a few scriptures that come to mind. Several of them from the book of Revelation. You know, in the earlier chapters of Revelation, the Lord has messages for his churches. And some folks apply them to like church ages and different times through history. And I think those were local churches he was talking to. But there's applications in what he says to each of those seven churches to churches through the ages. And some may be more reflective than others. These, at the time, at least when the Lord was writing them, were the true churches. They were still true churches. They were in a mess, but they were still true churches. But there were some of them very close. The Lord said, you know, if you don't get things right, I'm going to come take the candlestick out of this place. And those candlesticks represented the churches and the Lord's authority. Oh, the church may still be, the building may still be there. It'll say whatever Christian Cultural Center or First Baptist Church. They say all that. But if you look closer with a little spiritual discernment, you'll see it says Ichabod. The Spirit of God has departed. And you wonder about this man, and I guess his wife too. They're both called elders of this church. I don't know. And then there's some other woman that's got some other strange title. I forget what it was. What was he thinking in inviting this woman to his pulpit? A Catholic woman. An obvious reprobate. Well, the Lord dealt with one of his churches that had some similar circumstances. As he wrote to the church at Thyatira. And most folks, or many folks, believe when he speaks of the angels here, they're messengers, that he's speaking to the pastors of those churches. And the Lord tells John, you write this letter to the angel, to the pastor, if you will, of the church at Thyatira. In Revelation 2, beginning of verse 18, I'm going to read a few verses and make a few comments. These things saith the Son of God. Now this is the real deal. It's not some woman that's up there gathering apostles. These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. His judgment, it's piercing. He sees all. He knows all. His feet are like fine brass, which again often speaks of judgment. These things write to the angel of the church at Thyatira. Verse 19. I know thy works, and thy charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Listen. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. You tolerate this. You allow this. She claims to be a prophetess. You know, she knows when God's speaking to us. God's telling us. God sent us this stuff. That's what a prophet would. That's what God speaks to the prophets. who calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornications, look, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Yeah, well, that does sound a little bit like a jab, doesn't it? To receive these things, to take these things in. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, payday someday. And then they commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And again, I don't claim to know the exact application of all these and whatever, but we see what's being racked by the viruses, and not only the viruses, but the vaccines even more so. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the heart. And the reins speaks of the internals, the kidneys, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, when the Lord's talking to you that way, and he says he's going to give to you according to your works, that ought to cause you to tremble in your boots. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, those who haven't been fooled by this, those that haven't been deluded, those that haven't eaten the meat sacrificed to idols, and which have not known the depths of Satan, so they speak, as they speak, I will put upon them, upon you, none other burden, but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. Stand. Hold fast. Don't give in to all the hype, to all the false prophets, to all the false teachers. But that which ye have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto them, and to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, we better be listening to Christ instead of these false prophets and these false prophetesses. And really, you say, preacher, you're wrong. These have nothing to do with one another. Yeah, I think they do. And I think if you cannot see that there's a new vaccine religion, there's a new vaccine God that's going to heal you, it's going to set you. She told us that. It's going to fix us. Except for all these people out here that are holding us back. She told us, in her own words, that these injections were divinely inspired. God gave them to us. That's what theologians would call a special revelation that God gives to his prophets, to his teachers. And those who claim that and have it not, there's nothing but condemnation. She tells us it came from God to the smartest scientists and was delivered to us. Now, will this be true? Well, why do we need churches? Why do we need pastors? We've got divinely inspired governors. We've got divinely inspired and smart scientists. They know everything we need to know for salvation. You know, all you need is two little jabs. Oh, well, maybe then some more. And we'll tell you how many later. But it's the new time religion. saw somebody speculated maybe, I guess Fauci wrote a book and he kind of held off on publishing it, but maybe Fauci will publish his book and they'll call it The Babel. And he'll become the high priest of the Church of the Injection. Or maybe it's Pope or something. We evidently already have a Messiah. Lord warned her. I can only listen to what she says and what she claims. And she has divine revelation that she needs and wants apostles to spread her message. Mark 13:21, we looked at this verse previously. If any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise. The Lord said, they will rise. They shall rise. One of those hard shells, if you will, of Scripture. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders. Well, these great miracle drugs that God gave to these scientists, that they gave to us, that'll fix everything if people will only receive it. So, signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Brethren, we live in a time of great deception. And as I've said before, I'm not saying everybody has been brought under this current delusion, at least temporarily, or reprobates. I don't know that. But I would be worried. And the Lord says it this way because evidently it's going to appear that way. But he says, if it were possible, which to phrase it that way, it means, no, it's not possible. The elect of God cannot be seduced by these things. Then the Lord says, but take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. And folks say, well, I didn't know. Yeah, well, maybe you should have. Maybe you should have. Matthew 24, the Lord. Again, much the same thing. Matthew 24:23, but I'll read it. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. I've always related that to the Catholic altar where they put all those consecrated wafers, and certainly that's applicable there, but there's other secret chambers now. And in fact, these folks that have made these wonderful signs, that have made these wonderful vaccines, they're secret. They won't tell you what's in it. They're secret stuff that you can't know about. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not! For as much as the lightning come out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered. You should see and discern these things. The other day, walking out to get a delivery at the box, and I saw a huge vulture. Don't see them around here that much, but sure enough, I got up there to where the driveway comes together, and there's a dead raccoon. I don't know who's responsible about that. For that, his name may be Beauregard, but anyway, there was a dead raccoon there. Well, I saw that big old fault. I wondered where he was, why he was there. And where, well, there you go. You know that. You should be able to discern those things and see those things. Okay, I'm going to read one more passage, and we've looked at some of this before, too, again, from Revelation. That this is a warning of another woman. I love women, and I... There's the greatest thing God made. And as I study the Old Testament in particular, I'm more inspired by some of the things in the women I see there and what they did in their stance. But there's some evil ones too. And the Lord uses them to reflect things as well. Revelation 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness. This is John. And I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Wow! Just picture, you can't see it, it's black and white. She was in a scarlet dress. She got this gold vax thing around her neck. I'm not saying that, but, you know, there might be some application there, some overflow. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a gold cup in her hand full of abominations. Well, I might be so bold as to make that cup a syringe. And filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. People argue about that. In more recent years, I've come to think it has some application to the American Empire. And even beyond that, some of the applications there seem to be to New York City itself. But I'm not going to hold myself to that. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints. You know who those people are. We're going to have to take care of them, she says by implication. They're keeping us from attaining and arriving. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints. And it's happened before. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. God has a people. That's my trust in it, all sovereign God. And I believe that we are amongst his elect. We are that remnant. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition, and the ten horns, and he goes on to explain. I can't relate all of these things. Oftentimes it's applied to various empires and various powers and principalities. where did I leave off? Anyway, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. You know, there's a payoff for following and doing as you're told. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For the Lord hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. What do you think about that? Even those wicked men who crucified our Lord, they were fulfilling the will of God. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Listen, I don't understand it all. It's troubling. It's worrisome. But God's working his perfect will. His perfect will is going to be done. And those that are with the Lamb, they're going to be okay. Because they were chosen from before the foundation of the world. Because their names were written in the Lamb's book of life from before the foundation of the world. And says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And that could apply to the American Empire, to places like New York and what have you. And yeah, it has applications in the past and some fulfillments in places like Rome and the associations and fulfillments there. I don't claim to understand all these things. I'm not going to tell you I understand them all. I used to think I understood a whole lot more than I do now. But I absolutely believe these things. And I know they're going to come to pass. And I know the Lord's going to fulfill his will. And I know that those that are with the Lamb are going to be okay. And just kind of okay. Just kind of okay. Okay. Well, maybe we'll get to Galatians again someday, next week. But I think it's important for us to look what's happening. It's important for me to tell you. Right. If I really care for you, if I really love you in the biblical way, I'll speak the truth. I won't just plow on and avoid. And I wish I was smarter. I wish I knew more things. But what I know from the scriptures, and I pray you be Bereans and you check those things out. Okay, we'll take our hymnals. We'll turn to page number 185. If you like, you can stand as we sing this closing hymn. Depth of mercy can there be? Number 185. Depth of mercy can there be?
Mercy can there be, mercy still reserved for me, and my God his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare. I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him his face, would not hear his gracious calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. Jesus' answer from above is not all thy name. Let me now my fall lament, deeply my revolt deplore. We believe and sin no more.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we live in times which are confusing and sometimes troublesome to your people. But Father, we know you've called us to these times. You've prepared us for these times. Father, we don't understand all things, but we have your word. And we can see the things that you've recorded there. And I pray, Lord, we might be attentive. We might be discerning. Lord, you give us courage to stand. Lord, as we live in, I believe, the day of the rise of the wicked, of evil, perhaps even of the Antichrist, even as we've been surrounded since the time of your apostles by the spirit of Antichrist. Lord, give us discernment. Help us to stand. Help us to speak out. And Lord, help us to trust in thee as we ought. Lord, what comfort there is to know that you will accomplish your perfect will. And even these evil men and women are accomplishing your will, though they discern it not, and though they have no intention to do such a thing. Father, be with your people. Help us to be an encouragement to others. Thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for his completed atonement for his people, that you gave him a people, and that their names are recorded from eternity. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.